You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Coming to Northeast Wisconsin live from the Civic Media Studios and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the City of Green Bay's longest serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor. Begin the day with a friendly voice, a companion unobtrusive. And here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back. Special thanks to Becky for joining us. Talk about Oktoberfest in Appleton. Isn't that amazing? You're going to have 200,000 people downtown on Saturday.
And 100.
And on Friday.
Some of the same people, but you're approaching NFL draft numbers.
Yeah.
You know, because Packer games, what, 82,000 or something?
Yeah.
That's a lot of people.
Yeah.
And they're very excited about it. They're not like, oh my God, what are we going to do?
And the weather's going to be perfect.
Right.
Yeah. You know what I've always regretted? That I didn't have a classic car to go to these car shows with and everything.
You know what?
What?
I bought one and then I bought one and then I didn't.
What kind though?
Oh, I don't know. Oh. Like a mafia car.
Okay.
Probably.
Lincoln Continental?
No. It was older than that. No. It was like those gangster cars. I just like the look of it.
Like the 30s, you mean?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, I bought it from a guy, and then I took it to a friend of mine. And goes, there's a lot of putty in this. Don't do this. So I took it back to the guy, and it was nice of him to take it back. I'm with you on that. I would like something from the 30s.
Oh, okay.
I like
cars from Andy. I love old cars. But I had my dream car of all time is a 1967 GTO.
Yeah, those are cool cars.
And I bought one time. And I was so excited, and I had these guys in Pulaski at Power Motorsports, I think it is. They were going to fix it up for me on kind of like a trade-off thing. And then they told me that the frame was shot. It's like once the frame is shot, it's like, oh,
right,
that's big now. You know, you got to get frame off and whatever.
And you owned it? You bought it?
I owned it, but then I sold it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that was my dream, was to get that fixed up. And I always still think of that. I wish I could have figured out a way to keep it and, you know, whatever. But 67 GTO. Is my all-time favorite car. What would yours be? If you folks, text me this one. Text us. What would be your dream car if you could have like a classic car type thing? Just for show, not to run to the store with whatever. Just for show and to be cool and do whatever. What would your car be? Yours be a 1930s something?
Like, well, no.
Packard or?
Yeah, I don't know.
Oldsmobile, they were big then, weren't they?
DeSoto's, yeah.
DeSoto's, yeah. Todd, what would yours be?
It's something I'm going to drive around. I would, you know, I'd get an old... I don't know, Rolls Royce or something.
Oh, my gosh. I want
Bentley.
Something.
Bentley. That's what I want.
Holy
I want a Bentley. Sister to the Rolls.
Of course you do.
And here's me. I'm sitting here going, I want my grandpa's car. He had an old Rambler. That's what I want. I want a Bentley. I'll have a Rambler.
A Bentley? Who wants a Bentley? Nobody wants a Bentley.
Me.
That's ostentatious?
Ostentatious.
That's the name of his next dog.
No.
Sir
Milton.
Bentley.
Yeah, Bentley. Milton and Bentley. That's those cool names for dogs.
Yeah, Milton getting a Bentley. Yeah,
that would work. I like that. I like that a lot.
I think that would be cool because that's not that fancy. I mean, Rolls Royce is like the top of the... But I'll bet you there's got to be some Bentleys out there that you could pick up.
I can't think of one I ever
grand.
Saw around here.
No.
Got a text here, the yellow coupe from American Graffiti. That was cool. Those T-Birds were pretty cool back in the day, too. And they came back with those a few years ago. I'm not big into the remake of cars. Like, they came out with a new GTO a couple of years ago. Look, nothing just, like the old GTO. It's nothing. It just has the name. Yeah, just let that be.
Never go home.
No, you're exactly right. Let those just sort of, live in their place in the world.
Right.
Yeah.
But cars, how many cars shows did that guy say they had in Northeast Wisconsin?
600 or something? It was incredible. Oh, Lisa, Lady Lisa from the company, she says 1969 GTO, the Judge. That was the first year of the Judge.
Oh,
went from the
cool.
Goat to the Judge.
Jeez.
Yeah. Those had more of like the fastback. They're a little bit different. Yeah. All cool, Lisa.
But that car show that they have, you know, starting tomorrow, I mean, that's a draw. People love cars. NWTC has a car show. A lot of these church picnics have car shows
Green
now.
Island, right. Green Island always has one.
Those are awesome.
Terry says, my first car, 1968 Chevy Camaro. Missed that car.
Yeah.
Love those. Those were cool.
Yeah.
Those were, I'll tell you what, those were chick cars. I mean, by chick cars, I mean chicks liked, they would like to go out with a guy who has a car like that.
Chick magnets.
Yes, yeah. They were. Camaros yeah. were. Yeah.
Yeah, they were.
Yeah, they were. Yeah.
But you got to admit, the guys who drove them were kind of cool too, right?
Well.
And you didn't have one, but.
I didn't have one.
Yeah, I know.
I never had a cool car in my life. In my entire life, I've never had a cool car. Isn't that something?
Really?
Yeah. Actually, you know what I bought one time?
Your brother owned a gas station. You never had a cool car?
Well, he gave me kind of his 67 GTO.
That's not bad.
No, but you know what?
The frame was no good.
You know what I have? It's a transmission problem. You know what I have to do a lot of times? Mm. I'd have to carry a pipe wrench. I carried a pipe wrench. You know what a pipe wrench is? A big pipe wrench.
Yeah.
And I'd have to carry that, and the linkage would lock. I'd have to crawl under the car and use that pipe wrench and pound the linkage for the transmission so it would unstick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
honey, give me a minute.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hi, sir.
Sarah, we are glad you are here. I know you got a little lost. Anyway, you're here. We're glad you're here.
Did the train? Is it the train
or the boat or both?
Yeah.
Sadly, I don't have a train to blame it on.
You don't have a train to blame it on.
We would have believed you.
100 things to do in Green Bay. Learn where the radio station is. Hi, Sarah.
Hi.
Is that going to be in your next book? 101 things to do? Learn where the radio station is?
Maybe. Okay. I'll do a second edition someday.
I like your phone holder. Fries before guys.
Thank
I like
you.
That.
Sarah, okay. Let's before we get into the 100 things, and we read a little bit about the teaser on your book. Where'd you come up with this idea?
I am a travel writer, so I've lived in Green Bay since 2015. And I basically wanted to be an expert on Green Bay before I start promoting all the other areas.
Where are you from?
I'm from Upper Michigan.
Where?
I'm from near Ishpeming.
Where?
Champion.
What street? Where'd you go to school?
Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something about Champion. So when I went to the little Catholic school in Nagani, St. Paul's, their biggest rivals was Champion. The Kosky boys, remember Billy Kosky? They owned Kosky's Corners.
That's so funny.
Yes. You know that area?
Yes,
you know
I know those Bill. People?
You know Bill?
Yeah.
Okay. Phenomenal basketball player. Phenomenal. They had battles against Dookie Jacobetti. And Rodney Gazzetti and all these guys from the Nagani, they had battles that were unbelievable. And I remember one game, Dookie had like 46 points and Billy had like 40. What a rivalry St. Paul's and Champion used to have. It's a shame they closed down that school. They incorporated with Westwood then, right?
Yes, yeah. I went to Westwood.
You went to Westwood.
Yeah.
They played such tough sports in Champion. Wow.
Sarah wrote a book.
100 Things to Do in Champion, Michigan. No,
that would have been a tough hang book.
I got to say this, though. Does Billy run Kosky Corners?
He doesn't. He retired.
Oh, that's the most expensive gas around. Isn't that, though? That's almost like the most expensive gas. So he married a girl from Nagani.
She's in retail. She's got to be nice to everybody.
Let me just finish this, then you can take over, Jim.
Okay.
He married a girl from Nagani. Did you know that?
I know her, but I didn't know that she went to Nagani.
She went to Nagani. So her mom was the librarian at her high school. But anyway, so get this. So a guy sent me a thing. Jim, you get a kick out of this. A guy sent me a Facebook thing. It's called I Grew Up in Nagani.
Hanging on a cliff here.
It's called I Grew Up in Nagani, okay? And what they have in there is the video from the 1965 centennial. And they have a big thing in there on all the things with the candidates for the centennial queen. And she won. She was queen.
Oh my gosh, Billy's wife. I didn't know that.
Diane Collins. She was the queen. But it's really cool seeing these guys from Nagani that I knew when they were like 80 or whatever, seeing them when they were like in their 40s. Yeah. Really cool watching that old film like that. But you know the number, I think I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago. We were talking marching bands. And they had, you remember the Ishpeming Blue Notes?
Oh yeah, my sister was in Blue Notes.
Was she really?
Yeah.
But when they had this film of them, like, and you've never seen anything so precise in your life. You know, you can watch bands, and they're all cool, and they're good. But their uniforms were like immaculate. And everybody was in perfect step. That was a nationally known marching band, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, they're really impressive.
Yeah.
Blue Notes?
Oh,
that's a cool name.
Amazing, yeah. I don't think do they still exist?
They do. Their group is getting a little bit older, so they now have to, they aren't marching in parades, but they are on a trailer.
Oh, still, okay.
They're keeping it up.
Perfect. All right, Jim, take over.
This is interesting stuff, and Green Bay is Googled a lot, right? Everybody's interested in us.
Can I just say one more thing and then I'm going to let you go? One more thing. So the lady we just had on, she's from Iron Mountain, Escanaba, and she runs Chamber of Commerce in Fox Cities, and she said they're going to have as many people Saturday at their event than there are in the entire UP.
Oh my
God.
They're going to have 300,000 people. There's like 301 in the UP total. So, yeah, there's a couple people.
Okay, one last quick thing. So I'm putting his, like, he's never been to the UP. So I put his itinerary.
Well, that's not true. I've been to the UP. No, I haven't been there during leafing.
To fun. Yeah. So he's going leafing. Check out the colors. So I got him stopping at Marinette at Mickey Lou's. And then I got him going to, he's going to stay in Marquette at the Northland. Then he's going to Munising. What do you think about that?
I think that's a great itinerary.
Okay. So do I, but I love Green Bay. I was going through your list. You wrote the 100 things to do. And I don't know if I've done them all. And I just, because I haven't read your book. I have to do that. But some of the things the Press Gazette covered and some of the things that people have mentioned. Packers, obviously, is a big thing. And you kind of break that down a little bit, right? Packer game, Packer tailgate. Yep. That's a number of things. But you got over to Bay Beach, too.
Of course. Yeah.
He basically.
Zip and Pippin.
You know his history with the Zip and Pippin, right?
I don't think I do.
Yeah. She didn't know. No, you have to tell her.
Jim, tell her. You want to tell her. Tell her.
No.
He wouldn't have brought up Bay Beach if he didn't want to tell her.
No, I read that in your book. Yes, I was in government when we brought that ride from Memphis up
here. He's the reason why it's there.
You're the reason? That's awesome.
He is the reason.
Yeah. And when I tell people, usually students, college, running for mayor, give me some advice on running for mayor. That's what I did here before this. I'm like, here's a piece of advice. Never build a roller coaster during an election year. That almost cost me my job. People didn't see it as a good investment. And it's been great for the city. And what are they ranked in order or just 100 things?
Thankfully, no, they're not ranked in order because that would have taken me years to write. And I would have just been sitting in a room by myself trying to fight with myself over which one went before the other. So thankfully, no.
Did you have 150 things and had to edit it down to 100?
So the book actually has 176 things in it because I got to add little notes and little lists in it. So there's like one brewery highlighted and then I list the rest of the breweries. So I was really strategic of getting as many places in as I could. So there's a lot.
To ride the Zip and Pippin and then the other 22 rides out there, right? So that's. Do you have a favorite? And have you, let me ask you first, have you experienced everything on your list?
I haven't experienced most of the things, but like some of the things in there are like ice fishing or skiing, and I'm not a winter person, so I haven't done either of those. Been to the locations and researched them, but did not go ice fishing or skiing.
That surprises me, because a lot of you...
Yeah, especially being from the UP.
We hibernate.
Yeah,
maybe.
You do one of two things in the UP. You either embrace winter or you literally hibernate.
Yep,
hibernate. Right? That's what I tell people. If they're moving to the UP, embrace a winter. Ski, cross-country ski, snowshoe, something.
Especially if you have kids. It's like, look, this is where we live. We got to get into it. We're going to learn to ice skate. We're going to toboggan. We're going to ski. Yeah.
Luge. There's a luge course right behind my house. There is. No lie. We're going to take a quick break. 100 things to do in Green Bay before you die. Sarah Connery, the author, joining us back after this. Quench my desire, and I'll be at your side forevermore. You know your love keep on lifting me higher, higher and higher. Hey, welcome back. Mind of the Mayor here at 97.9 FM, WGBW 98.3 FM.
Sharon Connery, and 100 things to do in Green Bay before you die.
Oh, is this one? We got a text here.
Yeah,
it says, over the weekend, I did the scandalous Minahan walking tour with author Linda Drews. That should be on the 100 things to do in Green Bay. Add it to the list.
I will. Yeah, okay. Second edition.
I was going to ask you, people have read your book and they're like, oh, you forgot this. Are you hearing that? And what are the other things that you think, what do you think is the most popular? I mean, and let's take the Packers out because that is going to be the number one thing. But what's kind of the feedback you're hearing on the book?
I get a lot more feedback from press. and there aren't a ton that haven't been mentioned in the book just because I did put as many in the lists as I could. Feedback has been pretty good. I think when I was writing it, I was a lot more in my head about what I was putting in there because I wanted to make sure that everywhere was covered. But at some point, I had to make that cut of what was 100. Right. So,
when you say 100 things to do in Green Bay, what do you identify as Green Bay?
No, good point.
Also, great question.
I have my opinion, but go ahead. No, you're the guest.
I chose as many things within Green Bay, the city, as possible. And then I kind of expanded out. So there's some in Howard, some in De Pere, Ashwaubenon, Alloway.
Which all call themselves Green Bay.
He's not going to like this, sir.
Did you go out to Champion? Did you go to the Shrine? Did you go that far out?
That's in the book. Yep. So there are some that are further out. There's a couple in Luxembourg.
Did you go up to Door County?
I didn't, because there's already a Door County book for 100 things. So that's covered.
All right.
Mm-hmm. The reason he doesn't like outlying communities sometimes is because he would be talking to somebody from those communities and they'd say, "Hey, I voted for you." And he would know. No, they didn't.
Yeah. Or on the other side is we work pretty hard to recruit businesses here. And then they're like, they call me up, "Mayor, come to Green Bay." It's like, that's awesome. And then we're on Oneida Street or we're on Velp. And it's like, that's not really Green Bay. But anyway, that's okay. We're one happy community.
I have had a couple people, people just walking by and they're like looking at the book and they're like, "This is in De Pere." And I was like, "Yeah, but people coming to Green Bay don't necessarily know where Green Bay ends and where De Pere starts."
That is really, really true.
I still don't know where Ashwaubenon starts. When they talk about where the stadium is, I literally don't know.
I talked to a reporter that lived here and he thought he lived in Green Bay until he got his water bill. And which is quarterly. No, he's in Bellevue.
Okay.
Anyway, he goes, I never knew that. I'm telling everybody. But your address is Green Bay. And so I think, I'll give you sure you want to expand the municipality, right? Because it does go much further. What do you think is as just someone who researched this? And how long did it take you to do this? A year or two?
So thankfully, I had a running list. I wrote the book within a 3-month period at the beginning of this year. So it was a very chaotic year for me. But thankfully, I had a list already because I knew one day I wanted to write a Green Bay book. I just didn't really know when. It was kind of a back burner project. And I wrote the book through Reedy Press Publishing in St. Louis, Missouri. And so they were looking for an author to write this book in their series, because this series is other cities, other states. So they were looking specific for someone to write the Green Bay book.
Oh, that's cool.
Did they send you an email because of the NFL draft? Did they see that as an economic opportunity, or do you think it's just...
I don't think that they quite knew that was going on, but that was my push to get the book published earlier.
Right.
So I had to put together a proposal and say,
"You did it in 3 months." I give you credit. It takes me a couple of years to write my books. It really does. Writing isn't easy.
No.
It's not as easy as you think.
And then editing can take some time as well.
Yes. Yeah. It was a lot of back and forth.
Right. I have a daughter in that business, and some of you guys have big egos, and it's like, "Hey, no, you really got to do this." So I don't just met you today, but you don't seem like one of those.
What are some of the things in Green Bay that you discovered that you didn't know where it's like, "Oh."
There were a lot of things on the list. I shouldn't say a lot. There were a handful of things that I hadn't done but had been on my list to do for a long time. So going to the Hazelwood Historic House, I had never been there, but I've heard people talking about it.
Yeah, it's cool.
So I finally went there and I took a tour and it was fantastic.
That's like stepping back in time, isn't it?
Yeah.
The architecture in there is really cool.
Can someone do those 100 things? They're still around. They're still active.
Yes.
So one could have a contest to say, if you accomplish the 100 things to do in Green Bay, we'll give you X.
Yeah, definitely.
I have to think about that.
Trying to find a way to make money.
Well, that could be fun. Have you had anyone that said, "I did all 100?
I've had a lot of friends say they want to do all 100, and they're taking notes.
I'm not doubt they want to do 100. Has anyone said to you, "You know what? I went through your book, and when this just came out, a month ago?"
Yep, July 1st.
Okay. So, and you know what? Sarah, I've done all 100. Has anyone said that to you yet?
Not a single person.
Wow.
The challenge is on.
Well, can you give us your top 10 off the top of your head?
Oh, gosh.
Because I've never done the Zip and Pippin. So, okay. So I didn't.
Nor is he tailgating.
You haven't done the Zip and Pippin? That was my first roller coaster, was the Zip and Pippin.
Really?
You know what? Yeah.
I was surprised. That's a lot of people's first roller coaster. I thought everyone was on a roller coaster. And they're like, I've never been on a roller coaster.
I've never been on one.
Anyway,
I was a chicken as a kid. I didn't go on any. I actually went on the Zip and Pippin when I was 17.
Wow. All right. So
our good friend Kathy Larkin just walked by and waved.
Yes, I saw that. Tell us your favorites out of the 10.
Yeah, I will try. So the book is split into 5 different sections. So it's food and drink, music and entertainment, shopping and fashion, culture and history, and then I'm missing one. Sports and recreation.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. Yeah, that one.
I guess.
But I'll give you one or two from each section.
Okay, go ahead.
So food and drink. That's hard, but I always say Al's Hamburgers because I think it's a classic spot in the city that everyone should go to.
We mentioned that this morning before you even came on.
Okay, I've done that one. Okay, yeah. One. You got 2 minutes. Keep them coming.
Okay. if you haven't been to Lock, Stock, and Bagel, definitely go there. Bagels are fantastic.
Yes.
They're fantastic.
Okay, next.
When did you go there?
Lockstock and Bagel. Yeah. It's a personal favorite.
Yeah.
I go there often.
I went by. don't forget. Like, go ahead.
He used to own a bagel shop.
Gee, he used to be Lockstock and Bagel.
Sorry.
Good. I'm glad they're on the list. I love that.
Yeah. Hotel Northland is in the history section. The Tarleton Theater is fantastic and beautiful. Both of them are turning 100 years old this year.
That's right.
You know that.
It's a big year for them.
And the WBAY building was built the same year.
Yep.
Jim told us that.
Wow.
Yeah.
We're having a big party at the Northland to celebrate.
Yeah.
So anyway, go ahead. So that's all right. Those are things I've done all of them so far, but go ahead.
Yeah. A Wonderland Vintage Market is great. It's off Belp. Haven't been to that one.
No, I don't know what that is.
Okay. You should go there. It's great.
Sounds cool. I like vintage stuff.
Yeah. Scray cheese. You can watch cheese curds being made.
Oh yeah.
That's one that I always tell the kids.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, their parents, I tell them to go there.
They have ice cream too.
The National Railroad Museum.
Oh yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Absolutely. A lot of people don't know it's the only National Railroad Museum that's congressionally designated. It's a big deal.
I didn't know that.
People don't talk about it.
Wow.
And it's in the city of Green Bay. We lease that land.
So did you always want to move to Green Bay like when you were younger, or did it just happen?
My family came to Green Bay a lot. So yeah. I grew up on like a small farm. We came to Fleet Farm a lot.
Oh. You go through Fleet Farm on a Saturday, it's all Michigan.
What's
Fleet.
The most?
What? We got to go. We're out of time. Right. Thank you so much, Sarah.
Thanks for coming,
where can we find your book? Is it at Bosses?
It is at Barnes & Noble, on Amazon, at my website.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Bino and the Mayor with you anywhere. Download the Civic Media app today from the Apple Store or Google Play Store. And text the studio directly, all from the Civic Media app. Download it today. Now, once again, here's Mino and the Mayor, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
All right.
Thank you very much. Welcome back. Sarah Connery, 100 things to
Wasn't do that fun?
In Green Bay before you die. Yeah. What would be a couple more of yours?
Oh, man. Botanical gardens, for sure. I just think one of the most beautiful places we have. You know, I think it's good to go shrine. We talked about the shrine.
There's
a shrine at St. Norbert, too, St. Joseph's Shrine. I think that's pretty cool. I think the cathedral should be on
the list. You know, there's one on my walking route. St. Francis of Assisi has a shrine on the Fox River Trail.
Okay, they have a statue.
It's not his. Well, whatever.
Well, but it's not. He's not there. He's in Italy.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. So they honor him on the trail because of all
but
the animals.
But there's nobody buried in Champion, is there? At the thing?
Yeah.
Is there?
Yeah.
That's where that person's buried
The nun who saw.
Yeah.
Oh, she's Mary? Buried there?
She's buried there.
Yeah. Oh.
So if they had a shrine, for instance, to Jim Schmidt, you would have to be buried there? All right. I just wanted to
don't know.
Check.
I know.
I told you we built a shrine to my dog, Jet.
Yes,
buried
you
him
did.
In the garden.
And that's
same thing. See,
on the same, yeah,
same thing.
Close.
And we dug him up 2 years later.
But I'm interested to see who the first person is that accomplishes all 100 things in her book. I think that'll be fun. We'll get them
I'd like
here.
To know 100 things to do in Oshkosh.
There you go. There's more than 100.
Ryan.
I agree.
How are you doing, buddy? Ryan Rasmussen, Oshkosh Area Community Pantry.
How are you guys?
We are good.
You still feeding your people?
We are still feeding people, yes. It's still extremely busy down here.
Isn't it amazing the need people have for food? A couple things. I mean, one is it's so expensive, and families to afford that. Boy, if you can help them, just even one meal a week is significant.
Ryan, I bought a block of cheddar cheese the other night. How much did that cost?
Ooh, probably a whole block. Ooh.
Well, it's like almost the size of an actual
it's
brick.
Not the,
yeah, like a regular brick.
It's not the wheel.
Got it. You're probably in $7.50, $8? Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. $18.
Oh, wow.
$18.
Yeah.
Food is expensive. No, it's just regular cheddar. Just regular cheddar. Because I'm on a protein diet, so I eat a lot of protein. That's all I eat now is protein. Mm-hmm. Other than the Cerucci's candy I just had.
That is true. I'm on the same diet, but that's Ruggie's candy. They open the box. It's not like she keeps the box closed on her desk. She opens it up.
Thanks a lot, Nikki.
And it's like, you know, take me. So, it's been
Please
tough.
Take
it's been
me.
Tough.
But, Ryan, you guys do a great thing for the people a little bit disadvantaged in Oshkosh area. Talk about that.
Yeah, thank you. You know, we talked even the last time, you know, we truly believe in the dignity and respect of all of our guests. And so we set our pantry up just like a grocery store. Folks are able to shop the aisles just like they would anywhere else, which really separates us from a lot of other pantries rather than getting a preloaded box of food.
Yeah.
And we find that that model is so popular because, you know, for a guest to be able to retain their dignity, even though they need a little help, right? But to retain that dignity and be able to have the power of choice is just so incredible. It's so impactful.
I think
that's
awesome.
Great. And you're right about that. They don't want to stand in a line. They don't want to have somebody give them. I mean, go through there, pick out the pizza you want, pick out the veggies. That's shopping. And I think parents should do that with their kids. I think it's kind of a almost family experience.
Absolutely. And one of the things that we like to talk about a lot, too, and so this is great, Mino, that we were just talking about the price of cheese at the grocery store.
Yeah.
We like to run some of these numbers from time to time. And, you know, right now we can say that we're offering families about $6,000 per person per family a year in grocery shopping.
Right.
And
that's
so
phenomenal.
When you think about trying to take that $6,000 to be able to do something else with it, you know, that's really the power of what we're trying to do. You know, use that money for other things. We'll try to take care of some of those food.
And, you know, like I said, I was at a grocery shop the other night, and it wasn't like I was, you know, feeding six kids. Or it was $93.
Yeah.
Just for myself, just for basic food, nothing.
We talk about that a lot, and I went for two people, so I guess I did get a better deal because mine was like $136. And John, it's expensive. And, you know, we don't even have kids living at home anymore. Could John and I come to your store, or is there income levels? Is there geographical boundaries? How does the Oshkosh area community pantry work?
Yeah, so there's a big change that's happening for us right now. And so we're really excited about this. We just sent out the news release, and we're just talking about this. Our pantry used to be, we used to have a service area. We would still accept anybody from anywhere and ensure that they got their emergency shop if they came outside of Southern Winnebago County. But in accordance with some of the TFAP changes, and TFAP is a government-based program. It's called the Emergency Food and Assistance Program. Think about government cheese from a long time ago.
I used to love that. My folks used to get that.
Just great
My Uncle Nacho.
Great packaging.
My Uncle Nacho actually used to get it for me because it made the greatest grilled cheese sandwiches.
Yeah.
Mostly Velveeta, wasn't it?
No, it wasn't Velveeta. It was good government cheese. I will take government cheese today.
Yeah. Well, it's so in think the white of that box. Program.
Yeah.
And the way that the government has made it better since then is they've focused it more on local Wisconsin farms producers. So now it's more of a direct local produce, local milk, local canned goods that all go directly into pantries. And so the state has decided to do some changes in the way that they administer and how pantries will have folks come to their different locations. And so we used to have a service area, as I mentioned, Southern Winnebago County. And with the new change that's happened, the state is no longer requiring that guests were to show an ID, proof of who they are, or proof of their address, proof of service area, basically. And so pantries throughout Wisconsin are faced with, you know, some challenges, not challenges, there are some decisions on how they're going to run their pantry. And for us, it really boiled down to two ways. One could either separate people and food, which logistically for us is just not something that I have an interest in wanting to do, and being able to tell some guests, hey, you can have access to all of these things, and some other guests can't have access to these things because you're not showing IDs or proof of address, all that kind of fun stuff. We didn't feel like that was right for our pantry. And so we have decided to drop our service area completely, meaning technically anybody from the entire state of Wisconsin is going to be able to come to our pantry to receive the necessary foods that they want or need. I think, don't quote me, but I think we'll be the first pantry in the state to do this. So this is really exciting for us. What does that really mean? Do we really think that folks from La Crosse and Wausau and Chippewa Falls are all going to come to our pantry? Probably not. No. But geographically, we'll be able to expand ourselves to Fond du Lac, Appleton, Neenah, Menasha, Green Bay. So being able to open our community up a little bit more.
Ryan, where do you get your food from?
Wow, I was just going to say that.
Yeah.
There's a need out there.
I mean, how do you supply this?
We work very hard. So there's three ways that we get food. The first is with a fabulous partnership through Feeding America Eastern Wisconsin. I would say they probably provide us with about 70-75% of our overall food that comes in. And that group is really great because they can go after some of those large corporations or large food industry companies. They can go after the large grocery chains, the Walmarts, the Sam's Clubs, the Costco's, you know, the folks that probably wouldn't answer the phone if I were to call, but if they do, maybe they would.
What are the, what do stores like that do? Jim and I were just talking about that the other day. What do stores do when it's 10 o'clock at night or whatever, and the place is going to close? What do they do with like food in the deli that didn't sell?
Yeah, a lot of times it actually gets set aside, and Feeding America or us will go and actually pick it up next day. So we have a program called Direct Connect where we'll be out into the community every single day picking up from a variety of different grocery store chains throughout the valley and collecting a lot of those leftover items so they don't go to waste.
That's awesome. That's very cool.
Do they donate or do you pay? Do you buy that? Tell me, you give it away. You don't charge your customers, right?
No, $0. Right. Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah. And so for us, everything that we receive is via donation as well. Wow. Feeding America does have a program where you can purchase.
And Feeding America, if I just jump right, Feeding America is the group that got that big award that you were at, Jim.
Yes. Cellcom, I work at a homeless shelter, and the proceeds from this year's race were split between Feeding America and the new community shelter. And I think it's public now. We each got $53,000.
That's wonderful.
That was awesome.
But yeah, Feeding America, they used to come to our Veterans Village in Appleton.
Yeah.
And they'd bring groceries for the guys there, and they were outstanding. Great organization.
Yeah, absolutely. So between Feeding America, TFAP, which is that government-based program, that's a monthly commodity that comes into us straight from the federal government. They also have a variety of other programs that we apply for to get fresh produce, to get fresh milk, all that kind of fun stuff.
If you guys didn't provide this rent, would some of those families go hungry?
I would say probably yes. There are a lot of folks that are struggling, not only in this community, but all of our surrounding communities. And I think when folks are facing food insecurity, they have to make a choice. And in my opinion, the worst choice that they can do is put their health as a backseat and not be able to supply themselves with the food that they need in order to be able to take care of other things that are happening. And so for us, that's just that's the bread and butter, no pun intended.
I'm going to say this, Ryan, you correct me if I'm wrong here, but you know, sometimes you might get the image in your mind of who needs, you know, free food or whatever. And you got this certain whatever. It's different these days than you might think, isn't it? I mean, these are people that, you know, probably educated, had a good job, or there was health issues.
They still have a job.
But, you know, insurance, different. I mean, you'd be shocked at sometimes, wouldn't you, Ryan, who needs 100%, help?
100%, 100%. We are all one major thing away in life from being food insecure.
Yep.
One decision, and we're food insecure. You know, think about the person that has to have some sort of medical procedure, and maybe they don't have great insurance.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden, they're stuck in a situation where they've got to pay bills. And so, yeah, any of us.
And I say when I was in real estate, and Jim too, and you go to these foreclosed houses, they're these really nice houses, and you realize these were, you know, everything was great.
Yeah.
But their insurance had bad insurance, and the guy's wife lost her job or something. And maybe this happened a couple of times where a guy was self-employed on his wife's insurance. Something catastrophic happens. She loses her job. I mean, you're right. It's a slippery. Jim always says this worker. You're not so far from being homeless in this world. Exactly. Closer than they think. And you guys deal with that every day, don't you?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, we see new faces every day. I mean, we're still averaging anywhere from 75 to 90 new families a month that are coming in. And so it's pretty incredible. But for us, it's good because we get to have conversations with these folks as they're coming in and really kind of break down the barriers that folks would generally see either in food pantries or maybe perceptions about what a food pantry is. And we want to break all those stereotypes because that's just not who we are. That's not what we want to try to do.
So tell me, you're on here to obviously talk about your industry, but tell me one more time about these changes. These are positive changes, right, for the consumer?
Yeah.
Nothing to be worried about?
No. So I think there is some fear out there, right? With any change, there's folks that are fearsome that, you know, who's going to be coming from where, how are we going to make sure we have enough food, all that kind of stuff. I don't share that fear right now. I'm always the eternal optimist. I would much rather open our borders and figure out how to find more food because I think the food's there. We just have to go find it and get it. I think the changes overall are great. You know, from the state's perspective, they want to create a barrier-free opportunity throughout all of Wisconsin. for folks to be able to use pantry services. We were already adopting much of this at our pantry already. So this change really just is on paper for us. But what I think is great is for the folks that don't have documents that can't supply, or let's think about folks that want to truly remain anonymous. Maybe there's somebody who's in a domestic abuse situation who feels uncomfortable sharing information. Currently, right now, they wouldn't be able to receive access if they need it. And so this opens the door for some of those folks to make sure that they have what they need. We also talk a lot about, we don't always live and work in the same community, right? And so, especially with some of our hours of operation, you know, if there are folks that are working in Appleton and they can't come and be to my pantry before 6 o'clock on a Monday night because they're working, you know, their opportunity to be able to receive food may not be great. So to be able to spread this around and have folks be able to do it is really going to be a great thing. It really is.
Outstanding. Well, congrats to you.
Yeah, congrats,
Ryan. How can
Ryan.
People help you? Give us
big responsibility.
You know, besides use your facility, and you can give us the address and your hours, but I mean, I'm sure you're open to cash donations as well.
100%. Yes. There's three big ways that we always look for help. You could be a donor of food, hosting a food drive. Maybe you're with a type club group or a company. Maybe you can spread awareness that way. Second is through donation of funds. And third is being a volunteer.
Nice. Very nice.
Thanks for what you're doing.
Yeah. Thank you, Ryan. Ryan Rasmussen, Oshkosh Area Community Pantry. How many, could you just say generally ballpark, how many people you serve again, Ryan?
Right now we're doing 2,300 plus a month.
Wow. That's incredible. Good job, my friend. Wow.
Thanks, guys. We really appreciate being on the show. Thanks for everything, and thanks for having me again.
Love having you on. Love our people in Oshkosh. Love that station you're sitting in right now. We're big fans of Oshkosh. We really are.
Awesome.
Anything we can do for
you? I missed you last time you were in. You were just down here earlier in the summer.
We'll catch you next time. We will.
We had a great time. Thanks, buddy. Ryan Rasmussen, Oshkosh Area Community Pantry. You need people like that, huh?
Boy,
this area is so good with
like
people like that.
Yeah.
All right. I got a cool text here I saw from earlier from TJ. Get in my car to head to work to hear absolute chaos over the mumps. Hey, welcome back. On the Mayor here, 97.9 FM WGBW.
I absolutely love this song.
Oh, absolutely.
It's just, why are we playing that? Because you like me.
Because I like you?
Yeah.
That's exactly right. Aha! Jim, you got it right today.
All right, ding, ding, ding.
Honestly, I was showing that we've had so many changes in the studio this week.
Yeah.
I will be honest with you, it's been very stressful because it's additional great stuff. But you have to relearn everything you do. So instead of having one screen with five things on it, now I have four screens with 10 things on it.
And it would take me 6 months.
And so I've had a couple of mistakes this morning, but I literally realized we had to get to break. And so that song was right there, and I pressed the button. And that was it.
All right. Love it.
Hey, where's Nikki back there?
Nikki's around.
Nikki,
someplace.
Come here one quick second. Was she on Pete's show yesterday?
No.
No? Okay. I want to... Nikki!
No, Charo was on his show.
I want to talk about that. I want to see if she listened to the show. How did he get Charo?
Well, she's going to be in Baraboo for one of her shows in October. And, you know, he does interviews all around the state. So she called in, and she did the Hoochie Coochie Coo for him. Talked to him about her show. She's still out there doing shows. She's in Las Vegas all the time.
I had no idea she was even still alive.
Talked about, like, Elvis and Sammy Davis and listening. Working with them and all that kind of stuff back in the day.
She is
Charl?
Charl.
Yeah. Did you listen to her show?
I did to her show.
Yeah. What's that?
She gave Pete an official invite to her show.
Really? Wow.
I think
how old is she?
I don't know, but she was kind of hitting on him a little bit, I think.
Really?
Yeah.
And what do you think that's going to do for Pete's AI girlfriend, Sophia Coppola?
Oh, that's
Coppola?
Right.
He what?
That's
he's
right.
Got a little side AI going on.
Is that artificial intelligence?
Yeah.
How do you have an artificial intelligence girlfriend?
Well,
same kind used to blow up, John. They just do it different.
Oh, really?
It's now just online.
You know, I used to collect old sports magazines and all the pro wrestling magazines. Like almost all the ads were for blow up dolls. Doesn't that say what?
We got to move on. That's
I still got
funny.
Some of them. It's unbelievable.
Broadcasting from Green Bay and Oshkosh.
And then I got this one. I got to bring it in. And it's like,
no,
you know,
don't.
No,
you don't.
Wait a minute. No, it's not
magazine.
A doll. No,
the magazine. It's
the
doll.
It's the magazine.
Okay.
Okay, leave your doll at home.
And no, but here's the thing is, it's like, you know, order Sarah. And for just $5 more, her friend,
Natasha.
Why did you bring me in right when it goes off the rails?
Sorry. I don't know. I didn't.
Oh, I just wonder if you were on Schwab's show with Charo.
I wasn't on with her.
Okay, but you heard her?
I didn't listen.
Oh,
we had
listen.
A busy night last night, so I'm going to listen to the stream.
Yeah.
Okay, awesome. I'd like
because
to hear that.
We can do that.
Yeah,
we can do that.
We can download that anytime.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
Hey, why? Right. I'm disappointed in you.
Thanks for the chocolate.
Here we go.
Wow. Here we go. Airing of grievances.
Yeah. Because, okay, by the way.
We should have a sound bed
we
for
will.
That.
I'll
yeah,
that.
We should. Airing of the grievances. Festus. Now, here's the deal. So that soup you gave me yesterday was great.
Thank you.
That was wonderful. Tell the lady thank you very much.
I will. Okay. I will. That
so,
was so
because,
sweet.
Well, because you brought me that homemade soup yesterday.
Yeah.
From a lady.
Yep. Dear lady.
Not
neighbor.
That you're not a lady, but from a different lady.
Thanks.
And she said specifically, I love John Minow. I made this homemade soup for him, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm lying about that part, but let's just go with that.
Mm-hmm. I was nodding and playing along.
It's falling on deaf ears. Go ahead.
So would I? Okay, so here's the thing. No, Jim, here's the thing. So that is so nice of her. I mean, how nice, when somebody brings you homemade stuff like that.
That's nice.
That's nice.
Yes.
That's nice. I mean, when you do it, I appreciate it.
Yeah.
You know, okay, but anyway, so to reciprocate, I said, you know what, Nikki? Joe Cerruggi brought me this whole big thing.
Yeah.
I'm going to give it to you. Take home for your hubby and the kids and the whole thing.
Nope.
What does she do?
Put it out, share.
And open the box up, which people won't open the box up. But if the box is open and the paper's off, people are going to eat that.
Well, that was the intent.
It was great. I mean, it's not like you really wanted to share it because
it was.
But you know, I'm on
100%.
You know, I'm on a total protein diet.
24 hours.
Protein, I'm eating.
Well, I was tempting you. I was.
You did
baiting the hook for you to go back to candy and vodka diet.
Did you actually have some though?
I had to have the white chocolate almond.
Yeah.
I can't walk away. When I do those book signings at Cerruggi's and they put a plate of that.
Yeah.
I would.
The plate is sampled for the entire store and future buying customers. But no, Mr. Minow takes that as an entire single serving.
Would you put this in my car for me, please?
And then with these nice little old ladies would come and refill. John,
but
your customers
are
eating a lot of this.
Joe was so generous to share.
Yeah, it was funny talking to Joe, and Johnny and I both know him pretty well. Pretty close to the vest on a lot of things, right? Like he's got this recipe from 1899.
I love that. And I hope they have that inscribed
somewhere.
It,
believe me, it's written in Lebanese or whatever.
Seen that commercial for some app where people are, it's for old recipes.
Yes.
Like when you find grandma's recipes, you can
and
do a thing
with
and decipher
their
it and do the whole thing. Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
We've got some recipes that I've used and they're not.
Creamed herring.
Well, no, it's just like it's more Polish stuff, but it's really hard to follow because they just wrote down.
Yeah.
They didn't write down really
measurements.
No measurements, and the ingredients were even a little bit like, okay, Grandma, we really don't have that. It's more like a recipe for her ingredient. You know, it's hard to follow. But I did put something together. My mom said it reminds her of when she was a kid, so it worked. But
and you made it for her?
Everything.
And it wasn't
back
too
then
spicy.
My mom doesn't like spice.
Was to taste, right?
Yeah.
I mean, just a little
bit
of that.
That's what it is.
No,
absolutely.
To taste.
They eyeballed it.
Yeah.
They and just willy nilly.
And I think it was TT, so I had figured out it was to taste, but it wasn't a lot of ingredients, and it was a lot of cheap ingredients. Polish didn't have a lot of money.
Sure.
And so they grew up with not a lot of money. Depression,
frugal.
Of course, very frugal. Germans had a little bit more meat and stuff in there. But it's fun. My parents were those two generations, and they really honored their generations through food.
Yes, absolutely.
So, that's cool.
Yes.
Whatever happened to Fergie?
I kind of lost track of her after her and Josh Duhamel divorced.
I met him, kind of, at a Packer game.
Isn't he from Iowa?
I, shared an elevator with him at a Packer game.
Oh, I'm sure Vikings he fan. Remembers that.
Wow. And that's how we're going to end it.
I was in the same stadium
but
as him. I was in the same stadium as him.
No, I was
82,000 people, we were in the same stadium.
At the Super Bowl, she performed
thanks
the Super
for listening,
Bowl.
Thanks everybody. You've been listening to Milo and the Mayor.
All right. I was going to ask that
I'll give you that.
Wow, we're out of time. Nikki, thanks for joining us.
We got a fun show tomorrow.
Fun show tomorrow.
Dennis is in the house.
Yep. Have a great day, everybody. See ya.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community.
Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.